Okay, when your back is against the wall, oftentimes what we do is we do anything we can do to make money to get our back from off against the wall, right? If you don't like your job, if you don't have the income, you're like, I just got to do something to make money. Once you start to make some money, then you start to go, man, I really enjoy this. Or you know what? This was me. I don't really enjoy this. I wasn't wanting to wake up in the morning to do the work that I had created for myself. I wasn't excited to do most of the work. Even I was getting paid really, really well to do it. A lot of people would look at me as, man, he's got this amazing life. And I was sitting there feeling sorry for myself. I was not grateful for what I already had. And like Gary said, you start to project and look at the past or even project your happiness towards the future. And when you're comparing yourself against something that other than what is today, your happiness starts to go away. I had to fundamentally pull back and go, you know what? In order to get where I want to go, I've got to become something that I'm not currently right now.
Hey guys and gals, what's up? This is Trevor with another episode. Just kidding, it's Brady. Hey, just want to let you know real quick that we are starting to sell out tickets for Carrot Camp. Now, if you don't know what Carrot Camp is, Carrot Camp is for high-achieving real estate investors and agents who are already bringing in at least about six figures a year. They're doing a lot of deals. They've got some experience under their belt. We're going to be picking each other's brains on how you can really get some super valuable tactics and insights that you really can't get in bigger masterminds, Facebook groups, things like that. So you're going to get to hear some of the best marketing ideas that we have and that other investors and agents are doing right now. You're going to have a chance to dial in your PPC campaigns, your Facebook ads, your website, things like that with Carrot employees. But most of all, we want you to leave Carrot Camp with a shift in your perspective on your purpose in life and how you can actually infuse that into your business. We want you to leave feeling refreshed and recharged. That's what we're going to do for you at Carrot Camp. It's going to be awesome. Head over to carrotcamp.com and check out what our past Carrot Campers have had to say and how much it has impacted their business on every level. All right, head over to the website, carrotcamp.com. Enjoy this episode, y'all. We'll see ya.
Guys, first of all, I just want to throw out some love to Max, to the whole crew, putting this event together. He goes from, give him a hand. Give him a hand, guys. He goes from, what was it, 300-400 people at the last one to 1,000-plus people at this one. It's not easy to get 1,000 people in any one room for anything, and he pulled it off. And there's one reason. There's one reason that everybody's been following his journey, and it's a journey from going from a spot that you were and you had aspirations, you had dreams, to going to a spot to where now he's inspiring people. And that's the coolest thing is there's going to be people leaving this room that are going to be inspired. They're going to change their lives. Their family trees are going to be changed. And I'm pumped about it. So what we do here at Carrot, and I'm not here to talk about us. I'm not here to talk about Carrot. The first part of my presentation is really talking about my journey. And where my journey started is so funny. So Gary Vee was up here a little bit ago, right? And the very, very, very first paid speaking gig Gary Vee ever had was in Orlando, Florida in March, a guy named Rich Sheffrin. And that was the very first event I'd ever been to. I'd never been to an event before in my life. And this event was about a $9,000 event for the week. It was just this epic 5-6 day event. And I didn't have the money to pay for it. I thought that, man, if I can get in that room, if I can get around those people. So I go to this event, I win a ticket to the event. I didn't have the money, I wrote in, there was a contest. I deconstructed how the other people won it. I submitted my entry and I get this email. I get this email about a week later saying, hey, you've won a ticket for the entire $9,000 event. I show up and there's just these amazing people there. And Gary Vee was the wine guy at that time. He gave an amazing talk. He hung out with us for like an hour afterwards, about 20 or 30 of us sitting there for an hour afterwards. And it was so cool hearing his inspiration on chasing your dream, on chasing the passion that you don't have to build a business around your passion. Like, I love golf, I love mountain biking, I love things like that. And I was pressuring myself to build a business around that. And how many people here have heard that? He built a business around your passion, right? Like, if you love mountain biking, whatever it is, I was beating my head against the wall to do that. And what I started to learn over the years was you don't need to build a business around your passion. You need to build a business that fuels that passion. And so I want to give kudos to Gary. I know he's hitting the airplane right now, but for fueling so many of us to go out there and really build businesses where we put in the work, but we do it because it fuels the passion. So I want to throw those kudos to you guys. And also thank you, Gary and Max, for helping to fulfill a life list item for me. I'll show it when the slides come up here. But in 2010, 2 years after that event, I sat down and wrote a life list. Has anyone ever heard of or written a life list before? It's often kind of called a bucket list. I'd actually love to see a raise of hands here. Who's ever written a life list or bucket list? Because those who haven't, it's insanely hard to live the life you want to live if you can't write it down. It's crazy hard to live the life you want to live if you can't write it down. So I would challenge every single person to go out there and just write down random lists of things you want to do. Where do you want to go? Who do you want to see? Who do you want to be? What do you want to live to be, to learn? All those things. And one of the things I had written down on there was be able to speak my message in front of 1,000 people. This is written in 2010. And I've done that online, but I've never done it in person until today. So thank you, Max, and the whole team for rallying this many amazing people here. So I'm going to wing it, guys, without the slides, and we'll keep on pushing through this. What happened was in 2014, we started this company called Carrot, and it was after a journey that I had to go through. I had a chance to build a business where I was earning, you know, low six figures, and 1 year, as you'll see here in a bit, I went from about $150,000 in income thinking I'm all cool, but I was miserable in the process, to the very next year, my taxable income was $27,000. This was in 2011 or so. And what happened is, during that time period, just like Gary talks about and Max talks about, during that time period, I'd realized that you start to, when your back is against the wall, okay, when your back is against the wall, oftentimes what we do is we do anything we can do to make money to get our back from off against the wall, right? If you don't like your job, if you don't like any, if you don't have the income, you're like, I just got to do something to make money. Purpose and passion is barely at the front of your mind at that point. You're like, I just got to get some money going. Once you start to make some money, then you start to go, man, I really enjoy this, or you know what, this was me, I don't really enjoy this. I wasn't wanting to wake up in the morning to do the work that I had created for myself. I wasn't excited to do most of the work, even I was getting paid really, really well to do it. A lot of people would look at me as, man, he's got this amazing life. He travels, beautiful young family, which I do, makes good money. And I was sitting there feeling sorry for myself. I was not grateful for what I had and what I already had. And like Gary said, you start to project and look at the past or even project your happiness towards the future. And when you're comparing yourself against something that other than what is today, your happiness starts to go away. And so for me, during that time period, I had to fundamentally pull back and go, you know what? In order to get where I want to go, I've got to become something that I'm not currently right now. And I want to walk through this analogy with you. So, oh, there's some slides. Cool. I'll pull back to this in a second. So I want to walk through this analogy with you. Imagine there's a seed. It's a tree for a seed, seed for a tree, okay? And you've got this little seed in your hand. And you know within that seed, there's a tree in there. You just can't see the tree yet because it's a seed. It has to fundamentally shed its outer core. It has to fundamentally change what it is to become the tree. And in that time period, 2010, when I was making low six figures, I was a little bit afraid ego-wise that, man, if I step back and lose my position income-wise, you know, what are people going to think about it? And so I go, you know what? Being passionate, being purposeful, enjoying my life today is way more important than what anyone thinks about me. And Gary Vee, he talked about that for an hour today, okay? And it was amazing. But what happened was I go, okay, what parts of my life do I need to shed? What parts of my life do I need to completely get rid of? Do I need to shed aside, walk away from to become the person I want to become? It had nothing to do with money because I was already making money, but I was miserable. You know, it had nothing to do with having things because I don't like things. I don't like things at all. And what it ended up doing is going, okay, going back to the seed. You've got the seed. In order for the seed to become a tree, you have to take some soil, put the seed inside of there, put the soil back up on top, then you water it. What happens to the seed before it can go up? It's got to go down. The roots, the shell starts to break. The roots start to go down into the ground. It grabs and makes this foundation. And then as the water keeps growing, then something sprouts out the top. And then eventually this little sproutling starts to grow and keeps growing and eventually becomes a tree. Now imagine this strong tree there. That seed had to fundamentally shed its outer core, become something completely different than what it is. Had to go down first with its roots to plant a great foundation. Then it went up. And now you've got this bird. You've got this bird that lands on a branch and starts to make this bird's nest, and then a little baby bird comes out of an egg, and the mama bird then is supporting that baby bird. The mama bird's flying around grabbing worms, things like that, supporting the baby bird. One day, the baby bird hops up on the edge and goes, "Okay, I'm ready to fly. I'm ready to fly. I'm ready to become not this baby bird sitting in the thing, but I want to fly up there where my mom is." And it jumps on the edge. It looks down. It's all nervous. It doesn't know how to do it. It doesn't even know what to do. If there's something innate inside of it that's telling it what to do. It jumps off, and what does it do? It doesn't immediately go up. It goes down. It goes down and starts flapping, and eventually it's flapping hard enough, it starts to grow, and it starts to grow. And so I went through that exact same transformation. My bank account had to go down before it could go up. And so many of us are so afraid to go backwards in life in order to go forwards. We're so afraid to lose ground on what we've already came. And like I said, I had to completely take my income, shrink it by 70%, A lot of my bank account was depleted during that time, and I joined a mastermind, which I'll show you here in a bit. And that mastermind actually ended up changing my life. And I'll tell you about why that was important here in a second. But let me switch back to this really quick. So was able to speak my message in front of 1,000 people a day. Also, another thing off the life list, it was amazing, amazing. When you write these things down, they come to fruition. We were fortunate enough to hit the Inc. 500 5,000 list this year. It's one of the fastest-growing companies in America. The number one fastest... Thank you. The number one fastest-growing software company in Oregon. So I'm a little bit out of order here, guys. I'm going off of memory from the stuff. But we'll make it happen. This is my family. This is why I do what I do, right? We have almost 6,000 active members. A lot of you, dude, congrats, man. A lot of you here are members. Who here has heard of Carrot before? I'm just kind of curious. Cool. How many people are currently Carrot customers? Sweet. Awesome. Now let's go ahead and advance to the next one. But that last little point there, a little bit of irony here, guys. The only thing that I'm allergic to is carrots. The only food that I'm allergic to. And that allergy happened 2 years after I started the company, so a little bit of irony there for you. One last thing here, and then I'm going to start to dig into my story here, is when we were awarded that Fast Growing Company Award, it's pretty cool, but we're a small rural America company. We're 25,000 people in our town. There's nothing that says that we should be doing what we're doing. We're bootstrapped. We're a remote team with eight employees locally in rural America, and we're the Fast Growing Software Company in Oregon. The number one fastest growing company in Oregon was a marijuana company, Cura Cannabis. And then the company right behind us, and this is a microcosm of Oregon, y'all, the company right behind us is a sexual lubricant company. So you've got like marijuana, carrot, and sexual lubricants right there. That's kind of the microcosm of Oregon, which is kind of cool. So let me go to 2010, okay? And there's three specific lessons, three specific mindset shifts. The back half of this presentation is actually going to be marketing. It's going to be how do you crack through. The front half of the presentation, you can go past this slide. The front half of the presentation is the three mindset shifts I had to make. Okay, so the first mindset shift I had to make is you have to be okay with going backwards before you grow. You have to be okay with going down before you can come up. If you're in a business that you don't enjoy, get rid of that and step backwards, shrink your income down, and build up something you enjoy. My promise today are those three mindset shifts. I'm going to give you guys some tools. I've got a number I want you to text today because I don't have enough time, especially with the time crunch now. But you're going to be able to get these slides and some other resources and all three tools that helped me through that mindset shift to create better habits in my life, to start to work towards energy in a big way. Okay. And then next, if we have time for it, is the two marketing shifts responsible for helping Carrot grow into one of the fast growing companies in America and helping our clients do over $50 million in revenue in this past 12 months. Okay. So we're going to show you guys those exact marketing mindset shifts that play for this part of the market. So here's the journey right here, guys. I'm going to walk you through these three mindset shifts. So you can see in 2007 through 12, it was a little bit of a rocky road. Who can relate with that? Who right now is going through a period where it's a little bit of boom and bust? You got some rocky stuff going on right now. That's a good thing because you're going to be actually creating your mental operating system right now. Okay, when the times are hard, when the things are not going the greatest, that's when your mental operating system gets created. It doesn't get created when things are going great. So this is what I think that we all look for as entrepreneurs. We're all looking for freedom. You know, we're all looking for flexibility. Okay, we're all looking for finances. We want to grow those finances because it gives us a tool to have those things. And then the last thing that isn't showing up here is we're all looking for impact. Okay, those four things are probably universal for almost every single person here. Freedom, flexibility, finances, and impact. So many of us never get to the last part of it. So many of us never get to impact because we're focused so much on finances. The impact part's the part that's the most fun. And all of us can be making an impact right now, no matter where you are. If you're making $0, if you're making $100 million, we can be making an impact and being more purposeful. And I love, love, love this quote. I read it originally about a decade ago. You know, we usually overestimate what we think we can accomplish in 1 year, but we grossly underestimate what we can accomplish in a decade. Why do we pressure ourselves so darn hard to achieve so much in 1 year? We set these huge, monstrous goals, and then we feel down about ourselves if we didn't hit these big goals. But guys, if you look at my path that I showed before, I had 1 year after another that was rocky, that was bumpy, that wasn't all that great. But then as soon as I was able to make that mental shift, and as soon as I was able to make that transition, things started to take off. Things started to get momentum. Okay, 2010 was a big year. I had my first six-figure month in business. We had my first daughter, McKinley, that year. I had to move out of our house as far as my office and get an office downtown. And so we took over what's now our office building called The Loft. It's an 8,000 square foot building. Many of you have probably seen it in the videos. And we host Carrot Camp there. Carrot Camp Max and Tony came out there this last September. And that's what we call home. But even though we were making six figures some month, I was stressed because, like I said, every single month it was a boom and bust. And when it's a boom and bust business cycle, you can't have the freedom. You're not going to take vacations. You don't know what your income is going to be like next month. So you keep on working, you keep on working. You can never get that freedom. And 2011, 2012 was marked with so much lack of direction and purpose for me. This is a post I actually posted on January 8, 2011, because I was going through this period in my life where I wasn't doing the things that I knew that I should do. We all right now have things that we know that we should be doing that we're not doing. We have habits we know we should be adopting. We have conversations we know we should be having with loved ones. There's things we should be doing, and I wasn't doing them either. And then this hit me. 2012, my brother's best friend, I grew up with him. He was almost like my brother as well. He was in his backyard, 32 years old. He had three kids. He was gardening and just doing what you do on a Sunday afternoon, you know, in your backyard with your wife. And they were planning for retirement in 30 years. They were casting out their what would life be like. And what they didn't know was he wasn't going to be there for dinner that night. He died of a brain aneurysm right there on the spot. And so we get the phone call that Nick passed away. And, you know, he's however many years older than I am. I'm 36 right now. And it hit me like a ton of bricks because I was in that spot in life where I had been doing some things that were kind of cool. I figured out a couple things on how to make some money, but I wasn't happy. And I was so looking at everything I was doing, going, man, why am I doing this? Why am I wasting all this time delaying on the things I know I should be doing? Why am I wasting Nick's time? So I completely shifted my mindset at that point from wasting my time. I'm like, I'm wasting Nick's time now. He doesn't have this time. And I want to live for Nick these next years because he doesn't have the time now. How can I make sure to use that urgency? Then I came across a concept called Ikigai. Anyone ever heard of Ikigai before? Every time I bring this up, there might be one person. There's two in this crowd of 1,000 people. Ikigai. So Ikigai, guys, what is it? Ikigai is a Japanese, like this ancient Japanese concept, a reason for being. You know, it's the thing that gets you up in the morning. Every single person needs a thing to get you up in the morning. And it can't be closing deals. It can't be money. Okay, that could be the thing. One of the things that's fun, but why do you actually do that? So I want to show this really quick. You can get this in the slides. You can text CARROT to 38470. But basically, there's four things that help you be happy and fulfilled. First of all, doing what you love. Okay? Are you doing what you love? Are you fired up? Do you get energy from what you love? Number two. We'll go back. Number two, you're doing things that you're good at. Like, we shouldn't be doing things that we're not good at. We shouldn't be doing things that we're not good at, right? That's miserable. I'm going to show you guys how to stop doing the things you're good at and outsource them here in a bit. Number three, you're doing things that the world needs. You're actually providing a service people need, which everybody in here is. And then number four, you're doing what you can be paid for. Where I was at and where many in this room likely are, if you're making some money, but maybe there's a feeling of emptiness, is that quadrant on the bottom that points in there in between profession, vocation, and paid for. If you're in that spot, you're comfortable, but there's a feeling of emptiness. Who in here right now is comfortable, but you have a feeling of emptiness right now? You wake up and go, you know what? There's just something missing. There's just something missing, and you can't figure out what it is. That's exactly where I was for 3-4 years. A lot of you might be, you know, have delight and fullness, but no wealth. Okay, cool. That's fine. You can be completely happy there. Satisfaction, but a feeling of uselessness. Okay, that's if you're doing things that the world doesn't need. But where a lot of us are doing things we're good at, we're getting paid for it. The world needs it, but we don't love what we're doing. And I'm going to show you guys exactly how I completely shifted that in my business, made it to where I absolutely love what I do now. And it's a formula. It's not something special to me, guys. Okay? So the first mindset shift, I'm going to buzz through this one because we already did it without the slides. I remembered my presentation. One second here. Okay, so that was that. Sorry. So the first thing I did after that mindset shift is like, I go, okay. If I know that I'm doing something I could get paid well for, the world needs this thing, okay? I'm pretty darn good at this thing, but I don't like to do it. How do I actually make a company that I like? And so I sat down and did something I call non-negotiables. I suggest every single person in here write some non-negotiables for your life. And these non-negotiables for me at that time, this is 2011 or this, I wanted finally to focus on one thing. I'd always had 4, 5, 6, 7 different businesses going at once. And I thought that was cool. Like, as entrepreneurs, you're supposed to do a lot of things, right? It's not cool. It's not cool if you're half-assing everything. So one of my things is have singular focus on the big thing. Number two, have fun and have a big mission that I believe in at my core. Because I want to do something that's important. Number three, I want something that's finally consistent and predictable. If I can do that, then I can have more fun family-wise. I can just finally let the load off. OK? Hey, number four, build a long-term valuable asset, not just churning deals, not just churning the day-to-day stuff. I wanna have all the work I'm doing actually build something, you know? And then number four, I wanna live on purpose and work within my unique abilities. I said, if I can build a business off of that, and if I stick to these all the time, and if my business ever, ever, ever goes against these, I'm gonna change the business, I'm gonna sell the business, I'm gonna get rid of it, or I'm just gonna make sure I shift. These are my non-negotiables. So I had this mental operating system I can move forward with. Sorry guys, the slides, like I said, when we transferred them over, they just ended up not making it over here. So the quote here is, sometimes setting aside your ego. Yeah, I forgot the quote. Never mind, I'll give it to you guys later. Slides. All right, cool. So mindset shift number two. Mindset shift number two, guys, is you've got to live with your energy and ruthlessly protect it. Okay, you have to follow your energy in your work. You have to follow your energy in the day-to-day. And you've got to ruthlessly protect your energy. Your energy is everything, okay? And so during this time period, 2014, we launched Carrot in 2014. I actually got rid of three businesses that I was half-assing in 2012 through 14. That's when my income went down from low six figures to $27,000. And I'm like, okay, I can start fresh now. I've got these non-negotiables. I'm going to build a business based off of these, and I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to build it based around my energy, okay? And so what you've got to do first when you're rebuilding, you've got to be clear who you want to become and then surround yourself with those people. You guys are here because you're wanting to surround yourself with people. And I highly suggest that you don't just come here to soak up some information. If you're coming here to soak up information and not meet people and not walk away with lifelong relationships from this event, you're probably coming at it with the wrong approach. That event back in Orlando, the first event I'd ever been to, the one that I met Gary Vaynerchuk, I came out of there with a business partner. I'm still in business today, a decade later, another software company. When you text that thing, Carrot to 38470, that's a company that we started together in 2010. And it's scaling really, really fast. It's going to be bigger than Carrot probably shortly. And there's other lifelong relationships that came from that. So when you guys have the chance to go and have the cocktail parties and meet people, go meet people. And don't just do it from the perspective of, can I do a deal with you? Figure out who they are. Where do they want to go? Love on them, you know? So I joined that first mastermind that year. I'm like, I want to surround myself with the right people. My friend Greg Clement, he threw this mastermind. And basically, these were the things that I looked at in him. I said, okay, I want to surround myself with the people that I want to be. Like, he did things that he only loved. I'm like, how do you do that? How do you only do the things that you love to do in your business? Because I can't figure it out. He owned a fun business. He owned fun businesses. He was a multimillionaire. He was a strong, strong family man. He was there with his family all the time. And he seemed to have balance, this balance I couldn't figure out. And so there's this growth gap that we've got, right? There's the green one, which is where you want to be. The red one is where you are now. And then there's the gap in between. So how do you fill that gap? That's where I was stuck even when I was meeting Greg. I'm like, man, you're here, and I can see the picture of where I want to be, but I can't figure out the pieces between. So you guys might be looking here and going, like, what are the pieces between, Trevor, when you were not doing good and you were miserable and you were broke to where you are now? I'm going to show you guys how to do that. I'm going to show you exactly how to do it. So the way that you do it is you go all in on your unique abilities. So what are unique abilities? I learned this from Greg. And then I joined this coaching program. You're seeing a pattern. I surround myself with the right people in a mastermind. Then I go over here. What do I need to learn? I go over here and get the right coaching program. They teach these things to me. I actually execute them. Unique ability is a superior skill, something you're really good at. You're really good at this thing, okay? It creates energy. This is the most important thing. Your unique ability needs to have more energy when you're done doing the thing than when you started. That's when you know you're on the right track. What are the things you do that you have more energy when you're done doing them than when you started? Write those things down. It should be a passion, a never-ending improvement. You want to make it better, okay? And you're in the flow usually when you're doing unique ability stuff. In 2010, 11, 12, I was hardly ever in the flow, and I couldn't figure out what is this unique ability. So I decided to go find those unique abilities. I decided to go all in on them, and I created a process that I'm going to actually give you guys called the Energy Audit, okay? So if you guys text in Carrot to 38470, you're going to get an email back either today or tonight with the Energy Audit, with my habit tracker here in a bit, and with the slides. But I invented this process called the Energy Audit, and I honed it over 4 years, and this is single-handedly responsible for moving me from where I was to where I am today. You do it every quarter, 15 minutes a quarter, okay? The first thing you do is write down all the things that give you energy. Not just in business, life, could be home. We had our first Carrot camp, and this guy Jeff was in there from Atlanta, and I had him do the Energy Audit. We were sharing around the table, and there, you know, people are like, man, I like doing strategy, and I like lifting weights, and like, Jeff, what gives you energy? He's like, sex. And I'm like, dude, awesome. Do more of it then. Like, how do you do more of it? And so he went, took that home to his wife. He's like, all right, let's see if we can do this. So he's like, Trevor told me to. So then on the other side of it, write down what drains your energy, okay? What are all those things that drain your energy in life and business? Someone at that same thing said, talking to my wife. Like, literally. And I go, well, that's an issue, okay? It can come across as a funny thing at the start, but that's not funny. Okay, how do we tackle that and make that so it's an energy-giving thing? What are those things in our way that are making those relationships energy-draining, okay? So write those things that drain your energy. The next, this is where it gets magical. You write down your percentage. What percentage during any given week are you doing those activities? Okay, for me, in 2011-12, it was 20% energy-giving, 80% energy-draining. No wonder I wasn't enjoying what I was doing. No wonder I wasn't enjoying what I was doing, okay? So this is where the rubber meets the road. You take that and you circle. You circle one, two, three of those energy draining activities, the ones you want to get rid of the most. And this is where it was hard for me, is I'm like, how do I get rid of those? They make me money. Shoot. So these things make me money. If I stop doing them, I'm not going to make money. These things over here, you know, date nights with my wife, that doesn't make me money. Doing active things with my family, that doesn't make me money. Mountain biking, I'm not good enough to be a professional mountain biker, that doesn't make me money. So how do I actually stop doing these things and start doing these things? So you circle those, you write down how many hours per week you're spending on those energy draining activities, and you go, you know what, that's the very first thing I'm going to do this quarter to outsource. I'm going to create processes for it, I'm going to outsource it, and then I'm going to take that time and circle one of these things on the left and use that time to do energy giving activities. If anyone's ever listened to the Carrot Cast, who has heard the Carrot Cast before? Cool, quite a bit of people. The Carrot Cast came from doing this. I'm like, I love doing that stuff. I don't know how I'm going to make money doing a podcast, but I love it. I love interviewing entrepreneurs. I love talking about life success stuff, but I don't know how I'm going to make money doing it. I make money by writing long-ass articles. People come to my website from SEO, they end up buying Carrot, right? So I find one of the best writers in the world to write my articles. He just left as editor-in-chief of Shopify Plus, a huge company. He was my writer for 2 years, okay? You find the best people you can find to do that and take the energy and put it over in your energy-giving activities. You can have everything you love in life, guys. You can have everything you love in life as long as you give up what you don't. You can have everything you love in life as long as you give up what you don't love. And I want you guys to come out of this with an energy audit. You have to come out of this with an energy audit, okay? So once again, text CARROT 38470. We'll give you that stuff. Text CARROT 38470. That's when we started to catch momentum, okay? Momentum started to happen. Mind shift number 3, and then I'll go into 2 marketing mindset shifts. Is do the boring stuff. The boring stuff is what helps you live an extraordinary life. The boring stuff helps you live an extraordinary life. What do I mean? Okay, we all want to do the big stuff. It works up there. This one just doesn't work. Cool. We all want to do the big, exciting, interesting stuff. That's the stuff that oftentimes gives us energy, but the boring stuff sometimes drains our energy. How do we make sure that we do the exciting stuff? So I was frustrated because for years, I would have these same darn goals that would get carried forward to the next year, and this same goal got carried forward to the next year, and the same goal got carried forward to the next year. Does anyone have a goal that you've been carrying forward for over 2 years? And if you're not raising your hand, you're probably lying to yourself. You know? I had a physical fitness goal for 6 years. Roseburg is not big. Roseburg is a town of 30,000 people. We have 5 gyms. I joined all 5 in 5 years thinking that was the problem. I probably showed up 5 times. That wasn't the answer. Okay? So what was it that I had to start to do? I had to start to adopt better habits. You know, I was working hard. Why was I hitting ceilings I couldn't crack through? It's not always the harder you work, the better progress you get. Okay? It's not always. You have to be intentional with it. So excuses started piling up. I'm just not a morning person. I wake up late. I'm just not a morning person. You know, maybe I just need to join another gym. Maybe that's the problem. I'm a low follow. I took a test and it told me I'm a low follow through guy. So it's okay if I don't follow through on stuff because the test said that's me, right? Anyone relate to that one? You start to believe these tests. They're like self-fulfilling prophecies. These personality tests. We talked about that last night at dinner. Maybe I don't need to build a $10 million a year business to make the impact I want to build. I start to lower your standards a little bit, right? I want you guys to let this sink in. Action. The actions you take or do not take express your priorities in life. If we say that our relationship with our spouse is important, but our actions aren't showing that, that's not our priorities. So what are those things that we say are important, but our actions don't map to it? I've got a whole list of them. And I've started to go down them. So I ask this all the time. Are my daily actions mapping to my goals? Are my daily actions mapping to my goals? They weren't. So I'm going to give you a couple examples here. I decided, you know what, I'm going to finally slay this personal fitness thing because I know I can't show up to be the husband, the father, the team member, the leader that I want to be if I don't have energy in the afternoon. Okay, so I'm like, I've got to slay the energy thing. So I struggled to work out. I invested in a coach. I said, okay, cool. I'm going to eliminate the whole gym thing. I'm going to make it to where there's a gym in my office now and there's people working out with me. My coach gets there at 8 a.m. I've got to walk by him to get to my office after I drop my kids off to school so I can't avoid it. Like my coach is like, you're here. That's just what I do. So you start to do these things that are like habit triggers. How do you make it so you're 100% guaranteed to have success? find those things. I'd hit an afternoon energy crash almost every day, so I changed my diet and my water intake. I look like a goofball packing around water the whole weekend. You guys have probably seen me pack water around. It's not like a, I guess it is cool branding, but it's like I do it because I want to drink a lot of water because I feel better. So I pack this around. I have a cup of water right there by my kitchen sink all the time. My assistant Jen fills that up when she sees empty at the office. I'm guaranteed to drink 100 ounces of water a day, and I love it. It's easy. Okay, so I did it all through this right here. Called my habit and goal tracker, and I'm going to give you guys this. So this is what I do. Every single month, I sit down, I look at my goals for the year, my goals for the quarter. And I go, okay, cool, what do I need to do this month to reach those? What do I need to do this month to reach those goals for the quarter? And I write the top five ones in my habit tracker. Next, I go, okay, cool. Every single Sunday, I pull up my habit tracker on my cell phone. It's just a Google sheet, guys, and no software involved, it's just a Google sheet. I pull up my habit tracker, and I go, okay, what are the five things I need to do this week to map towards those five goals for the month? Okay, and then last, every single day at like 10 o'clock, I pull up my habit track and go, cool, what's my power list for tomorrow? What do I need to do today to make sure I achieve this week what I need to achieve? And the coolest part here, so that's my goals. These are my habits. I'm not an organized person. This might look like I'm like this type A organized person. I'm the opposite, guys. I've tried 35 different productivity systems. I've tried every productivity system. I've tried packing around the notebook. I've tried the apps. I've tried the everything. I've tried having my assistant have a call with me at 5 in the morning trying to hold me accountable. I got to hold myself accountable. She can't do it. So I started to create this. I have morning habits I'm trying to adopt. I have evening habits I'm trying to adopt. Red ones are ones I didn't do that day. Green ones are ones I did that day. And over the week, you start to see, man, where are my priorities? Is that habit actually important? If it's not, I replace it with something else or get rid of it. If it is, I go, what was the thing that is tripping that up? So one thing that I noticed is I wasn't getting up at 5:30 in the morning. I'm like, whoa, what's the habit that I need to put in place to make that happen? I would look at my bedtime habit of 10:30. I'm like, well, that one's red too. I'm going to bed late. If I just take care of the bedtime, it's going to take care of the wake up time. And it did. So map those habits, guys. And they're like dominoes. Better habits started to fall in place. Momentum starts to build. Okay. Show me your habits and I'll show you your future. Show me your habits every single day and I'll show you your future. I'll tell you exactly what your life's going to be like next year. Just looking at your habits on the daily. And Brady, he's the only guy I've ever shared an office with. He's my digital media guy. He knows I've got some bad habits still, and I'm working through them. But we're getting there. We're getting there. Okay? So if you guys want that habit tracker, text CARROT to 38470. So I'm going to go through a little bit of marketing stuff now. Is it cool, guys, if I have like 10 minutes? 10 more on some marketing stuff? Cool. We've got the things ticking down, so I just want to make sure. So those three things, to recap them. Oftentimes, you got to go down before you go up. Number two, follow your energy and ruthlessly protect your energy, guys. Number three, do the boring stuff to live an extraordinary life. If you do those three things, you're going to completely shift from someone who isn't pumped about what you're doing to someone who is. And you're going to show up better at home. You're going to show up better to your team. You're going to show up better to your customers. And life's going to be way, way better. Okay? So I want to ask you guys this question. We talked about this in our breakout session. Is your business currently a two-legged stool? Has anyone ever sat on a two-legged stool? Not for long, right? So if you sit on a two-legged stool, the only way that stool is going to stand up is if you support it. The only way that stool is going to stand up is if you support it, okay? And this is what many of your businesses are. Many of your businesses are a one-legged or two-legged stool because of the marketing that you're using. And I want to make it to where you have a solid foundation on your stool, okay? So what I discovered during that shift in my business was my previous business was boom and bust because the marketing was ebb and flow marketing. I'll tell you what that is here in a second, okay? It means the marketing starts to get better and get worse as time goes on. And the more marketing methods you put in place in your business, the more solid your stool becomes. And the cool thing is, when you have three legs, that stool can hold you up. When you have four legs, that stool can really hold you up. Now your business is supporting you rather than you supporting your business. Who in here is relying on one marketing method right now in your business? Just one. There's probably a lot more than that. Anyone just relying on two? So think of that right now, guys. If you're just relying on two marketing methods, the likelihood of in a year, in 2 years, that your business still being here gets pretty slim. Gets pretty slim. Especially if it's an ebb and flow marketing method. What do I mean by that? So if you look at these colors, guys, imagine green being direct mail, imagine red being cold calling or whatever it is, okay? It doesn't matter what it is. Outbound marketing is actually ebb and flow marketing. Based on the market cycle, when a lot of people start to use one type of marketing, it becomes a little bit less effective, then this other one pops up, right? So if you guys look at the timeline, direct mail 6-7 years ago was crushing. It's still doing great today, but the response rates are way down from what it was. And then cold calling popped up, right? And then now we see RVMs pop up. And so we're going to keep on seeing these ebbs and flows. As more people use them, the effectiveness goes down. keep using them. You need to use them because, like Gary said, go all in on the shit that's working right now. But what you need to do is you need to invest in the stuff that builds momentum. The only marketing method that builds momentum is inbound. It's because more and more people are hitting the internet to do Google searches to find things that that they do. So I want to have everyone, we're at the end of the day, guys. I want to have everyone stand up real quick, okay? A little social experiment here, okay? Cool. I wasn't going to do this, but like shake it out a little bit. We're going to finish the day strong here. So I want everyone to stay standing who has a cell phone within 5 feet of you. It'd be amazing if anyone sat down. Okay, I want everyone to stay standing if you've done a Google search in the last 24 hours. Okay? I want everyone to stay standing if you have ever bought or not bought something based on a review on a product. One review sometimes kicks us towards yes or no. Do you guys believe, stay standing if you believe your prospects are doing the same thing as you? Every single person. Your sellers are doing the same thing. So if we're relying on offline marketing only, and we're not actually tightening down the online side of it, this room proves your prospects are missing you and you're losing deals right now. You're losing. If your average profit per deal is 20K, one lost deal a year is 20,000 bucks. If you're losing 10 deals, one of our clients, Carter Steph, the largest home buyer in Oklahoma, he was losing $300,000 in deals a year and didn't know it until we tightened up the online side. You guys can sit now if you want. You can keep standing if you want. So offline marketing creates online demand. You might be losing some stuff, right? I'm gonna trim this down here in a bit, but... All right, cool. So the past 10 years, from 2002 through 2012, we were in the age of get online. You just got to get online, right? Throw up something easy, simple, quick, simple, cheap, right? That's the only qualification. As long as you're online, that's cool. Today, 2012 through 2022, it's all about how do I actually cut through and perform? How do I actually make this thing work? How do I actually make a profit off this thing? How do I get people to find my website? How do I actually get a profit from the internet, okay? And that's the big thing that we're doing. This right here, I got an email from Tyler Ford down in Tucson, Arizona, an investor down there. This is a screenshot from his Podio account. This is an actual conversation with a gal named Laura, a seller. And Laura said, she replied back to his offer through the carrot system and said, "Sigh, okay, I'm just trying to break even, smiley face, because you seem to have a stellar reputation. I'll accept the $97,500. A couple of places did offer me $100,000, $105,000, but they seem shady. And I've gotten taken before. Let's move forward, Laura." Who in here believes that sellers right now, Laura, might think that you're shady because they can't find good information about you online? There's a lot of people who are not shady in here that your sellers think you are because they can't find anything about you. They're not finding good reviews about you. And if you go to Amazon and you find like a 2 or 3 star writ thing, that's even better than no reviews. If you find a product with no reviews, you don't buy it. You don't buy a product with no reviews on Amazon. No way. So why do we think real estate investing is any different? Why do, we know that everyone's going online. Why do we think real estate investing is any different? That your prospects don't need reviews. They do. So even if direct mail, cold calling, any of that stuff's working, you're probably leaving tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars on the table because you're not tightening this part up. Someone opted into 5 websites. They got 2 postcards. You might have got the lead, but why didn't you get the deal? You didn't get the deal because of this. Okay? So that was Carter's stuff there. But where most deals are won or lost is in the vetting and verifying phase. That's when people are actually trying to find the credibility about you, right? That's when most deals are won or lost, okay? And some of those things you can really do to increase the ROI are, I'm just going to buzz through some of these because we're a little bit long on time right now, guys. But if you're doing cold calling RVMs, I'm going to help you guys make more money with your cold calling RVMs or direct mail right now if you just do these things, okay? Cool. So here's Max's website, a carrot site. We just went through the concierge program with us. He's got credibility on there. He's got his stars for Facebook. He's got his stars for Google. He's got his Better Business Bureau A+ rating. He's got testimonials up there at the top. He's got photos that are local to his area. If I'm a seller and land here, and then I go look at his testimonials, I can see he's a good guy. He has a good video on his website. He has good content on his website. Content with him on it. Videos on it. I'm probably going to pick Max over someone else because the credibility factor and the website's easy to use. It converts high. Okay, the next thing, Google your company name. Do that before you leave this weekend, guys. Google your company name. Google your business name and Google your personal name and see what comes up. With Max's, I did it before this. I'm like, I'm gonna test Max out, see how he's doing here. So I Googled Cash Homes Tryout Reviews. He's got 5 out of 5 on Facebook. He's got the stars there. He's got really good reviews on Google. That right there is going to close him deals. If he didn't have that, that'd probably cost him 6 figures a year. So guys, go drive reviews online. Okay, control your brand search. And he's got great videos, too, where he's just delivering education content. So how does your credibility fare? Google your business name. Google your name. Google, here's one right here, guys. I dropped this on our breakout session earlier today. Anyone doing direct mail or cold calling or RVMs, Write down all of the tracking phone numbers you use. Every single tracking phone number you use for cold calling or for RVMs, okay? Write those down, not now, but when you get back to the office. Google every single phone number, because your prospects are picking up the phone and go, who called? I'm gonna type that in, just like we all do. We go to Google, we Google phone numbers of people that we don't know, okay? So your prospects are doing that. What happens with tracking phone numbers is up pops these like scam call websites, right? It's like scam call 101. You're not a scam, but it's a tracking phone number. That's what happens. So take those tracking phone numbers, put them on your contact page, and say, hey, you might have landed on our website from one of these 14 phone numbers. Awesome. We'd love to help you. It just helps us track how people are getting here. Okay? Now, your credibility for those, that's going to close you more deals. If you're dropping tons of RVMs and cold calls, guys, that's going to make you tens of thousands this year if you execute it, that one thing. Okay? I'm going to buzz through these puppies here, but just make sure you really personally brand. I know Gary talked about brand. Max talked about brand. Add brand credibility. Personally brand your business, okay? I'm not talking like you individually, not your name, but make sure that it's clean, it's clear. You've got big, huge buttons, big, huge form fields, especially on mobile phones, okay? Make sure it looks good. Mobile's number one, though. Over 60% of the leads that come in, over 60,000 leads a month in our system, almost all sellers, 60% are from cell phones. So look at your website first. Your website should be the very first thing you pull up on your cell phone, or your cell phone should be the thing you use to pull up your website, not your desktop. Stand out with credibility badges. Max is a veteran. Ben Socek's a veteran too, so he's got the veteran-owned business badge on there. If you're Better Business Accredited, put that on there, okay? Increase transparency. One of the biggest things you guys can do to crack through in a market is start to show people the exact process you follow to do a deal, okay? Like Jason Bible, number one home buyer in Houston, Texas, moved over to Carrot about a year and a half ago because of performance. He was putting $40,000 a month in pay-per-click, ran a split test, moved all of his traffic over to Carrot for performance. And he's like, I said, dude, if you on your about page or your how it works page can actually walk through the process of how you analyze a deal, that adds transparency. It helps people discover, okay, he's the person I want to work with. Okay? Bo Hollis, he was out there at Carrot Camp with Max. He's starting to do content. He's 100% cold calling guy. He did over 100 deals last year cold calling. And he's like, man, I'm starting to see that erode a little bit. I need to add on the online side. So he started creating videos with his sellers, started creating content in our system that automates it, and he's starting to close deals. I got this text message from him recently, this last week. I said, hey, I just got my first lead from my videos I've been making. I asked the people how they found me. She said, I typed in buy my house and you popped up. They watched my videos and they said I seemed really down to earth and liked the stories and case studies that I tell. He's going to win it just because he's putting the content out. Guys, Gary was saying the same thing. Okay, Gary said the same thing. Take out your phone, record videos every single week, right? We've been saying this for 4 years, but probably single digit clients in our database are actually doing this. So if you want to stand out, start using this. Start using video posts in Carrot if you're a Carrot customer. If you're not, just start shooting videos and putting them on YouTube and putting them on your website. You'll stand out, okay? Let me buzz through this. This is a good-looking, high-converting website. I'm going to drop this quote on you. We'll wrap here in a couple minutes. I was fishing one time with a friend of mine, Rusty, and he doesn't have any money. He's a vet. He's disabled. He runs a nonprofit helping other vets actually go fly fishing for therapy, and we were fishing. I'm like, man, you got some amazing gear. He had really, really expensive stuff. And he said, I don't make enough money to buy cheap. And I'm like, what does that mean? And he goes, man, if you buy cheap, it breaks. You got to buy it again. You got to buy it again, whatever. I don't make enough money to buy cheap. And that's the same thing for you guys, is when you're cheapening out on some of your marketing methods, you could be throwing up a Wix website because you think you're saving money. That Wix website, the $50 Wix website might have cost you 50 grand this year from underperformance. So you don't make enough money to buy cheap. All right, so those are some of the things I ran through. I'll give you these on the slides if you download them. And then the last thing, guys, you want to then stack your resources. Brian Rockwell, he's here. He shared at Gary Vaynerchuk's presentation. His first year, he did almost $700,000 all online. But then the market's starting to kind of catch on. More and more people are using online. So now he needs to stack on other lead sources too. So online doesn't cure it all. We're just talking about stacking on multiples, adding 2 to 3 legs to the stool. Okay, so online leads also are higher quality and often higher profit. It's because people are coming to you. You're not interrupting them. People are coming to you for a solution where you're gonna actually be able to serve them. Can you imagine that the difference in that feeling when someone actually asks you for help rather than you throwing something in front of them and saying, can I help? When they actually ask you for help, it's game over. Because they are reaching out to you, not the other way around. Okay? So wrapping it all in bow here, guys. Number one, be okay with going down to rebuild a stronger foundation. If you've got to do that after this event, if you've got to pull back and become someone new and step backwards and break down your current foundation to rebuild a new one so you can build a tower, do it. It might take you a few years, but it's going to be worth it. Follow your energy. Ruthlessly protect your energy. Ruthlessly do it. Okay? Create habits that reflect your goals. Get the habit tracker. Start using that every single day. It's going to change your life if you adopt it. Outbound marketing ebbs and flows. Use it. Use the stuff that works, but add on online inbound marketing to really build that foundation of consistency. Consistency and predictability is what gets you freedom and flexibility. Consistency and predictability is what gets you freedom and flexibility. Without consistency, without predictability, you can't have the freedom and flexibility. You just can't have it. You're always going to be nervous what's happening next month. Where's my next deal coming from? Okay? That's what's going to unlock that for you. So I'm going to end with this. I know it's running a little bit late. Guys, you got two more days, 1.5 more days to meet at least 5 people that could potentially change your life. I want you guys in tonight's cocktail mixer, I want you guys tomorrow to go up and meet someone and ask about them. Don't be nervous about how trying to explain you. That's where a lot of us get nervous in networking. It's like, oh, I don't know what to say to them. Who cares? Like, just ask about them. Be curious about them. Be curious about where they came from. Why are they here? What are their aspirations? Ask about them. 5 people this next 2 days, okay? And the last thing is, guys, create your non-negotiables. If you don't have non-negotiables that are on your wall, that you grade every decision you make on in your business, what happens is you start negotiating everything. And you start building a business like I did the first time around, where I said, well, I can take that on, well, I can do that. And my business ended up trapping me. So create your non-negotiables, right? Max, thank you guys. Amazing, amazing event. Thank you guys for the time.